Okay, I wanted to share with you insights on the Haggadah from Reb Chaim Kanievsky. This is the Sefer Time of the Krah. Sefer Time of the Krah was published many years ago by Reb Chaim during his father's lifetime. The Stipe was still alive. This is a more updated version that I purchased, the 2013 edition, that has many, many corrections and hosafos and ha'aris from Reb Chaim's grandson. And it's a Sefer Time of the Krah spans all of Tanakh, mamish all of Tanakh, till the very end. You can look at the end of the Sefer, includes Divrei Hayamim and some Haras on Tzul as well, which maybe we can, maybe we'll talk about a different occasion, maybe tomorrow. But interspersed through the Sefer regarding the Parshios, he also has a few ideas on the Yom Tovim, ordered sequence together with the Parshios that they usually coincide with or follow. In this case, at the end of Parsha Tav, there's a section on Pesach. Why Parsha Tav, when it's not a leap year, is always the Parsha right before Pesach. The Rav said, and this I think comes from the Rishonim, that's not by accident. Parsha Tav is always before Pesach because Parsha Tav includes aspects of kashering, how they would kasher certain implements that were used in the Beis HaMikdash for the Kalim, the Klei Sharis, from Belios, from absorption of Karbonos that could possibly create Isser, and we derive from there some halachas of how we kasher our Kalim in our kitchens from Belios that would cause halachic problems on Pesach with Chametz. So not a coincidence that those two often find themselves the same time of year. When it's a leap year, we have to figure out why it is that Parshas Metzora is the week that predates Pesach. Maybe we'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. But let's go through a few interesting ideas over the next 10 minutes or so that come from Reb Chaim's commentary on the Haggadah. So, starting with Halach Ma'anya, there's a famous question everybody asks. Kol Ditzrach Yesev Yifsach. We invite people to our Seder, and it's one thing to question Bizman Hazeh, what kind of invitation is it to the Seder if you're already home and your doors are closed and there's no one around to hear you invite them if they're poor, but we should have done that while we were still in shul and maybe there were stragglers there who were looking for a place to eat. Moreover, it's a question on the other half of that introductory part of Halach Ma'anya, there's Kol Ditzrach Yesev Yifsach, and Kol Dichvin Yesev Yechol. Kol Dichvin Yesev Yechol means anyone who's hungry, come in and join us, come and eat. But Kol Ditzrach Yesev Yifsach, anyone who needs to be to take part in the Achil of the Korban Pesach, that is a mitzvah on all of Klal Yisrael this day, the night of Pesach, the Seder, which revolves around the Korban Pesach, right? Come and be a part of the Korban Pesach. There's a fundamental halachic problem that exists with such an invitation. Because there's a halacha that everyone knows, if you look through the Pesukim and the Gemaras in Maseches Pesachim, and that is that you cannot take part of the Korban Pesach unless you previously were a monoi on that Korban Pesach. The shechita of Korban Pesach that took place on Erev Yontif, right? Hundreds and thousands, maybe millions of karbonos that were brought all within that short window of time following Chatzos on the 14th of Nisan through the evening, right? The shechit of all those karbonos that Josephus testifies in his history about what an unbelievable sight it was to see the Kohanim performing this avoda for so many karbonos. All of Klal Yisrael came to Yerushalayim to be there for Yontif. You could not do that. You could not be part of the Korban. You could not be Yotze. Your mitzvah of being part of Korban Pesach unless you were previously included in a group and named and contributed and gave towards the purchase or a zechus was made on your behalf monetarily into that Korban Pesach for you to be able to partake in the Korban Pesach that night. In other words, when a Korban Pesach was brought on Erev Pesach, there were defined number of people and specific individuals of a halachic designation that were listed as part of the Chabura bringing that Korban, and if you were not part of a Chabura, you could not eat the Korban Pesach at the Leil Seder. So what is this statement? What is this invitation? Kol Ditzroch Eisav Yitzchak, anyone who needs, come and be part of the Korban Pesach. That can't be. Because the Korban Pesach is Eino Nechal El Minuyov. You have to be part of the designated group to eat the Korban Pesach. So the answer is, Reb Chaim, what are we talking about? We're talking about Bizman Hazeh, when we had no Korban Pesach. So therefore, what are we asking you to do? What are we inviting you to do? Not to come and take part in the Korban Pesach, but be a part of our Seder to celebrate Pesach, Achilun Shtiyah, eating and drinking at our meal. But it's what comes right afterwards that sheds light on this, the meaning of that statement. Hashata Hacha, this year we are here, and we are eating, and I'm inviting you to eat, but L'shana Abba Ba'ard Yisrael, and next year, I'm not going to be able to invite you, because the Korban Pesach needs to previously include all of its menuyim. The Kamar, V'chi Tema Mayasu Azaniyim Shalizmina Me'er Gantiv V'l'shachtu Olim HaPesach Alzeh Kamar Shata Avdil V'shana Abba B'nei Chorim Yukul Nashir L'tzarech L'kach Shachim Yizmina. We're saying that nowadays, this year, when we are in Chutzal Aretz and there's no real Korban Pesach, I have no problem inviting you. Kol Ditzroch Yesev Yifsach. Anyone who's hungry, take part in our Seder. But that's only because we're here this year. Next year, L'shana Ba, Ba'ard Yisrael, we'll be back in Eretz Yisrael. We'll have a Korban Pesach, and it will be required to be manoy on the Korban Pesach before Yantiv starts. You'll tell me, but then what are we going to do with all the stragglers who never got an invitation for the Seder, and it's now night, and who's going to invite them in? No problem. Hashata Avdi, now we're enslaved. We're living in Gullus. We're subject to the whims and the wishes of others. But in the future, next year, Mitzvah Hashem in Yerushalayim, L'shan Abba B'nei Chorin, we'll all be free people. We'll all be rich. We'll all be provided for. There won't be any more Aniyim. And anyone of those aniyim now will be ashirim in the future, and they'll be able to buy their own Korban Pesach and not be dependent on the invitations and the tzedakah of others. He also says that we're told from the time that we're young that the paragraph of Halach Ma'anya is in Aramaic because it was written in the Gullus, right? Whenever the Haggadah was written. Or it could be this was written after the composition of the Haggadah. We want to invite in the people in a language that they understand. Rishonim say that. But it's interesting that we include in Halach Ma'anya also Lashonim Baba Ard Yisrael. In Aramaic, we're saying next year we're going to be in Israel. But the Bnei Eretz Yisrael also say that Nusach. If you go to Eretz Yisrael today, they also say in Aramaic, next year we're going to be in Eretz Yisrael, right? So what's the pshat? So there's another level of significance over here. Even the people in Eretz Yisrael have to appreciate that what we're davening for, what we're hoping for in the lines of Halach Ma'anya, is a tefillah that we should be in Eretz Yisrael, Ayidei Agula Shleima and Binyan Beis HaMikdash, to appreciate that whatever we have in Eretz Yisrael is a far cry from what it's supposed to be. That maybe you'll say that Eretz Yisrael Bizman Hazeh is Reishis Tzemichas Gula Seinu. It's the first sprouting in the initial steps of the Gula, but it is by no means a fulfillment of what is really intended to take place. There were many people after the Six-Day War, when Yerushalayim was recaptured, and there was a sudden expansion of land that was now under Jewish rule in Eretz Yisrael, multiplied over and over and over from the small slice of territory that Eretz Yisrael was before the Six-Day War. People said, come on, what do we need? What do we need to sit on the floor in Tisha B'Av and mourn the Beis HaMikdash? We're done with that already. There's no Nachem to be said in Shemona Esrei Deitana. There's no Kinas to be said on Tisha B'Av. We're in the state of affairs that was dreamed of for thousands of years by our parents, by our grandparents, by our ancestors in Europe and the Crusades. We have returned. This is the fulfillment of the Gula. No. As long as Eretz Yisrael is still not witnessing the Kavod Mashiach and the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, we can still say L'shana Haba B'Yerushalayim. We still have to be saying that this is not the way it's supposed to be. There's still, unfortunately, a land of Eretz Yisrael that is ruled by atheists, by people who are anti-Torah, anti-religion, who some people even want to undermine religion. where we can walk through the streets of Yerushalayim. There's more, unfortunately, in some places in Eretz Yisrael, more immorality, more depravity than existed before 1948. And that's still something that we have to take to heart. And even if I'm sitting in the holy city of Yerushalayim and I'm beginning my Pesach Seder, I have to say, L'shon HaBa Ba'ar Yisrael, that there's a different Israel, there's a different Eretz Yisrael that needs to exist for us to reach the tachlis of what this Haggadah, of what this Seder is coming to hope for. We ask four questions, the Man Hashana, and the whole point is obviously to highlight the differences from this night to all other nights over the course of the year, Man Hashana, the matzah, the maror, the chametz, left off the table and only matzah, leaning, and the tevila, and we don't make a point of highlighting the four cups. Interesting, right? We know the reason we do things unusually, in part, is to attract the attention of the children, that they should notice these abnormalities and be inspired to ask questions that will allow us to have context for discussing Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim. But why don't we highlight the four cups? So Reb Chaim says very simply, we make Kiddush on other occasions, Shabbos and Yontif, right? There's Purim. A person can easily have cups of wine at his table on Purim as well. We're still drinking more than we normally are drinking the rest of the year at the Suda or at the Seder. The Rambam says that you're actually supposed to have yayin on Ashal Shudas as well. But because this is something that's not entirely foreign, they did not see the appropriate occasion to institute a separate question at the Seder for the four cups of wine. Okay? We say, Bavor Zeh, Os Hashem Liv Lo Lo. When we answer the Rasha and we respond to his question, we say, these mitzvos, this avoda of the Seder, Bavor Zeh, Os Hashem Liv Lo Lo. We are the beneficiaries of the Geula from Mitzrayim. Our mitzvos commemorate that event, and you are excluded from that. Because the Rasha himself says, Mahavoda hazos lochem. He takes himself a hotzi atzma naklal. He says, Ki'ilu, what's all this stuff that you're doing? You, but not me, I'm not interested. I don't find any excitement. I don't find any relevance. And, the whole thing's ridiculous. It's almost as if he's not really asking a question. It's almost rhetorical. What's the purpose? Why do you bother with it? But clearly excluding himself from the equation. All the first one I've got to ask, the Chacham also says a similar lashon, right? Asher tziva Hashem eschem. Ma avoda azos asher tziva Hashem eschem. What is the avoda that God commanded you, eschem? Right? Eschem implies you have the mitzvah and I don't have the mitzvah, right? If the Chacham was really living up to where the Chacham, where the Rasha falls short, he should have said, ma avoda azos lanu. Right? The whole point is that he's including himself and he's not excluding himself, then his grammar should have been a little bit different. That's the question of the Olam Mefarshim. Reb Chaim says something beautiful. He says, look at the Chacham says, ma avoda zos lochem. What is this avoda to you? Adds the Chacham a few critical words. Ma avoda hazos asher tziva Hashem eschem. There's a godly, divine aspect to what you're engaged in. You, my parents, my grandparents, my ancestors, all of Klal Yisrael throughout history, you are the privileged few. You are endowed with a special, special blessing to fulfill the will of Hashem that He came down from Shemayim and said, please be my people and carry this through every ensuing generation. And you are so lucky to carry that mantle, to wear that crown, to have on your shoulders the great responsibility of the procession of the Mesorah throughout history. And I want a piece of that, right? That's the natural next statement. The Chacham has to say, please let me in, show me what you're doing so I can be a part of that as well. I don't want to miss a beat. And I look up to you and I respect you and I hope that I'll have that same privilege to take on that mantle of leadership when I'm a father. As opposed to the Rosh who says, like, what is going on here? What is this business? No, I know what this is, the Chacham says. I appreciate its value. I see how awesome it is. Please bring me in, explain it to me, so I can have a chelik in that as well. That's a whole different question, Rabbi Yossi. And that's what everyone should be thinking about when they sit down at the Seder. Wow, ma avodah zos, shetziv Hashem eschem. Because I want a piece of that too. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yossi, and we'll be in touch. See you tomorrow, Mr. Shem.